There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Travelers Broadcasting Service.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here at the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents a visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani in the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Good morning.
I'd just like to take about 58 seconds of your time to say something I've wanted to say for a long time. I think the time is here now when I can answer many anonymous letters that I've received over the past several months asking me if the second district candidate for the United States Congress was my son. He is. He's my oldest. He was 32 yesterday, as a matter of fact. When he was born, I had an early morning program here called Reveille. And I mentioned it when he was born, and I mentioned his birthday every year thereafter. But yesterday, I could not, because I just wasn't mentioning him during the campaign. And you can imagine, he would have had extra publicity on voting day, and that just wouldn't have been right. But I think now I can say it, and I know many people have been waiting for me to say something. I couldn't talk about him for obvious reasons. For one, it wouldn't have been fair to his opponent, and I wanted to talk about him. Many times while watching the two candidates debating on TV, I was impressed by their politeness and urbanity, their lack of acrimonious disagreement. And you'll pardon me for saying this on behalf of my own son, but he and Jack Pickett were both gentlemen. And it was rather uncommon in a battle for a major political office, and I wanted to say something about it, but of course I couldn't. I'm not a politician. I'm not a political commentator. I'm just a radio announcer who happens to be the father of a young fellow who set a goal for himself some time ago, and he drove like heck to reach it. And in the past 12 hours, a good many people have asked his mother and me the inevitable question, how do you feel being the parents of a United States congressman? And our answer is, just wonderful. And thank you for asking. It's 25 minutes before 8 o'clock, or after, is he? How mixed up I am.
Welcome, everybody, to the Broadcaster at 100, yet another edition, Bob Steele Part 2, the full opening sequence, A Hunt in the Black Forest, followed by Bob himself speaking on November 4th, 1970, about the election of his son, Robert Hampton Steele, as a Republican to the U.S. House of Representatives for Connecticut's 2nd District, a seat that he held through January 3rd, 1975. And I just love how Bob approached the political nature of the situation in that era. It probably would be totally different today. Just saying. It is Bob Steele's son, Robert H. Steele, who's going to be joining me for this edition of the Broadcaster at 100. To look back on the life and career that his father had at WTIC Radio, spanning from 1936 to 2002. Yes, a total of 66 years, 55 full-time and 11 part-time. You may remember earlier in the Broadcaster at 100 series, I had Phil Steele on to talk about Bob's career. And now Robert's going to do it. Different memories, different audio clips. And more interestingly to me, a difference in how the two brothers remember Bob. Robert seems to remember him more as dad. And I know that Phil has been kind of a historian as far as his career went. But in any case, I think that it's a presentation you're really going to enjoy. Many fans, of course, of Bob Steele in Connecticut. Then and now. Let's begin with Robert. I'd like to start off by going way back in time, Robert, to your earliest memories listening to your dad while you were growing up.
Well, if you're asking me about the memories of him on the radio, I think they go back to probably when I was 3 or 4 years old. But once he started on his morning show, my mother always made sure that the radio was on all morning. So when we had breakfast back in the late 40s, especially mid-40s, late 40s, that I'm thinking about, he would start at 7 o'clock. If we were up and having breakfast at 7 o'clock, he'd be on the radio. So although I didn't see my dad as often as most kids saw their father, I heard him on the radio. In a sense, I actually went to work with him because I could to hear him, I could relate to him, and I didn't have to see him at home because his schedule really didn't allow him to be home very much during the week. I mean, he was gone in the morning when we woke up. He sometimes would get home in the afternoon, but he had a station assignment until 12 o'clock. His program would be over at 8 or later 9 o'clock. He'd do his announcing duties until noon, and then he would work on his morning program for the next day. And he might get home in the afternoon, but if he did, I'd be at school. And then he'd be back to WTIC for his Strictly Sports program at 6:15 at night, which, of course, he had to prepare for and do interviews for. So during the week, we kids didn't see that much of our dad. But we heard him on the radio, and we enjoyed his program, especially the kids' hour before we went off to school. He always had the greatest kid stories, Jack and the Beanstalk, Puss in Boots, narrated by the great Gildersleeve. We certainly listened more and more carefully as we got older for the word for the day and for some of his other features. But it was the weekends that we really looked forward to, because on the weekends he would get home after his Saturday morning program. He was doing 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. So we get home on Saturday morning, and he would try to get us boys, and eventually there were four of us, out of my mother's hair. And the oldest at the time, I always was part initially of what was done. He would take us to the movies. He would take us to play miniature golf. He might take us to the Y to swim. Anyway, it was a day with us, until that is at 3:30 in the afternoon, when we have to have dinner on a Saturday because he had to go back for Strictly Sports to WTIC, which was on again at 6:15 on Saturday. But the day between his morning show and his evening sports show was really reserved for the family, as was Sunday. On Sunday, after World War II, when people could start buying cars again, there was always drives into the countryside, always stopping at the Lincoln Dairy when we were through for a milkshake or a sundae. I really, as I got older, admired him for carving out the time he was able to carve out for the family when his schedule at WTIC was so incredibly demanding.
You mentioned listening to him in the 1940s. Of course, there's World War II, and I ended up finding a recording of him in 1945 broadcasting from downtown Hartford on VJ Day.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House in downtown Hartford at Asylum and Main Streets. I'm looking out over the iron fence here onto a sea of humanity, happy humanity. Everybody is celebrating. You can imagine the scene here. It's just like it must be in every city and village in the United States and outposts. There must be between Main and Asylum and Main and Pearl Streets here in downtown Hartford. In this one block right in front of me, there must be 7,000 or 8,000 human beings jammed together and clanging bells and shouting and singing and dancing. And I might add, well, there's something to punctuate what I was going to say. Sailors and soldiers are having a good time here, especially. They seem to have the privilege of kissing all the girls, and they're taking advantage of that right. I think it's good to stop for just a moment in the middle of all this celebration and remember that there are many sober and solemn thoughts to be entertained at this time. It happens that we're just about 50 or 75 feet from the war memorial, the memorial to the Hartford war dead. And certainly we shall not forget those who are not coming back to enjoy the fruits of victory with us.
WTIC's Bob Steele speaking in 1945 on VJ Day, broadcasting live from downtown Hartford. I'm with his son, Robert H. Steele, for the broadcaster at 100, remembering Bob Steele. Robert, do you remember World War II and listening to your dad in that era? You were a young boy, born November 1938.
By the time I was 5 years old, I was well aware of the war. We talk about it at home. I remember, blackouts on Buckland Road and Wethersfield where we lived. When we had air raid, I guess practice, you would call it. But Hartford was a place where it was designated as a possible target should Germany ever get that far or get close enough to us. So I remember the war very well. And, of course, my dad talked a great deal about the war. He talked a great deal on the radio when he gave the news. I mean, at that time, much of the news was he actually gave. It wasn't a newsman who came in and gave it. But if whether it was or whether it was my dad who gave it, we were listening to the radio, so we were always listening about the war right up to 1945.
It's the broadcaster at 100, remembering the life and legacy of our very own Bob Steele with his son, Robert H. Steele. There's more on the way in a moment on WTIC News Talk 1080, WTIC.com. Go under More and find all of our anniversary material.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm Governor Ned Lamont, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100 years old.
And I think we have about a minute to go till 9 o'clock. We have news coming up. I didn't give you the word for the day during this hour. I think I forgot it in all the hubbub here. The word is chrysanthemum. Some people say chrysanthium, and it's chrysanthemum. And mum, of course, is easier. And that's our word for the day. And the state is Wisconsin. The Badger State, and the capital is Madison. And speaking of mums, we've got 700 of them around here. We're on a dais here at a desk with a microphone, and then our audience is out here about, I'd say we've got 400 or 500 people at least having coffee and pastry now.
The broadcaster at 100 continues on WTIC News Talk 1080. That's our Bob Steele, celebrating 50 years full-time at WTIC. That was October 1st, 1986, broadcasting live from West Farms. His son, Robert H. Steele, is with us. Robert, your father, as you heard there doing the word for the day, he loved the English language. He was a stickler for pronunciation. Everybody told me that. Did that ever cross over into your life, your family's life?
Believe me, he was sure to correct us when we made a mistake. He'd always do it gently and carefully. I learned to actually look forward. I was always happy to learn. He was always certain to make sure that we spoke as clearly and as accurately as possible. And that was something that was always, just language was important to him. He had a wonderful ear for language. One day when I was in high school, he had a new sponsor. It was the Vito Rock School of Modern Languages. And the operator of the school suggested that my dad might want to take lessons and bring one of his sons with him during one of the summers. I think it was a summer when I was a sophomore in high school. He said, why don't we take a language together this summer? Well, I had been looking forward to the summer, and I don't think there are that many kids who are sophomores in high school particularly want to have to take a language course, foreign language course, with their father that is going to take, you know, a couple nights a week away from what else they might want to do. But I agreed. We decided we were going to take either Arabic, Chinese, or Russian. And we decided to take Russian, which influenced part of my life and part of my career in an important way, but we picked Russian because it was the easiest of the three languages. It wasn't that he knew the grammar or he could learn anything but phrases or names or places, but he could learn them with great ease. He could say whether there were Polish names or Russian names or French names or Spanish names. It didn't make any difference. And I think that many people thought he spoke a number of languages because he had such a perfect ear and ability to pick up the sounds and the intonations in language as though he were an actual, had been born in wherever it might be.
That's amazing. Now, did people know that you were his son, and did that get you any particularly unique attention as you were a kid and growing up?
His audience was enormous. I mean, he had the largest share of market of any morning person in the United States.
Yes, some really incredible data, Robert. In the 1940s, 80% of Connecticut listened to Bob. By the time he retired full-time in 1991, the number was around 35%, but you've got to factor in the addition of many more radio stations, particularly FM competition and television, both of which were not factors when Bob started his career. Still a very respectable number, though.
I remember one merchant telling me that the reason he advertised on WTIC and on Dad's program was that one morning when he was driving to work in the summertime and stopped at stop signs or stop lights. There's a car on either side of him or a car on one side of him. And these cars had their radios on and the windows were open, or maybe it was a convertible or whatever it be. He said it was incredible. He said he used to listen very carefully because he was trying to choose a station to advertise on. And he said it seemed that at least half the cars in the Hartford metropolitan area had the G. Fox Morning Watch on, which it was at that time, of course, or the Bob Steele Show. That's why he made the choice.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. That is Robert H. Steele remembering the life and career of his father, Bob Steele, which spanned 1936 to 2002 on WTIC News Talk 1080. The Broadcaster at 100 continues next.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, it's one of Bob Steele's sons, Phil Steele, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, and we're celebrating the Broadcaster at 100.
We're continuing the Broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Celebrating the road to 100 years of WTIC in Hartford. Our guest is Bob Steele's eldest son, Robert H. Steele. Bob worked with WTIC on a full and part-time basis collectively from 1936 up until he died in 2002. Unbelievable. In the 1970s, it was interesting because Robert, his son, was actually an elected official. He served in Congress, then attempted to run for Connecticut governor and lost to Ella Grasso. And I want to talk about it a little bit more because I just do think that it's a very interesting chapter in Connecticut history that the son of a widely popular and successful morning show host could have some success in politics. And there have been times when I've said to people the name Bob Steele, they say, oh, his son, he was in Congress, or the other way around. Robert, what led to your decision to want to run?
Well, from Monday to Saturday, the radio was always on in the morning at our house. And by the time I was 8 or 9 years old, listening to the news on WTIC was an important part of the morning routine. And I began to follow, really, at that age, what was going on in the world, listening again to the radio news. But I started studying Russian with Dad when I was a junior in high school. I studied it further in college, and in 1960, I was part of one of the first student exchanges between the United States and the Soviet Union, and traveled extensively in Russia and Ukraine, and that was in 1960, in the summer of 1960. I then spent 2 years at Columbia University, earning master's degrees in government and international affairs, and working as a research assistant to Zbigniew Brzezinski, who later, of course, served as President Carter's national security advisor. And then after Columbia, I joined the CIA, where I spent 4 years in Washington and then 2 years at the American Embassy in Mexico City as a Soviet affairs specialist. The Soviet Embassy in Mexico City was Russia's largest espionage base against the United States. And in fact, Mexico City at that time was considered to be kind of the Casablanca of the Cold War, a kind of hotbed of spies and revolutionaries and assassins. Fidel Castro at that time was trying to make inroads into Mexico. There was a serious political, there was a lot of political unrest in the country. And you may recall that Lee Harvey Oswald made contact with the Soviet embassy in Mexico City before JFK was assassinated in Dallas in 1963. In any event, based on my studies and various experiences, I had developed a strong interest in government and international affairs. And when my family and I came back to Connecticut and settled in Vernon, I became involved in politics and I ran for Congress. I won a special election for an open seat in 1970 and served two-plus congressional terms, serving on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and as the ranking Republican on the House Latin American Subcommittee. Much of my focus during those years was on national defense, certainly the Vietnam War, international drug trafficking, and various environmental issues. But it was a tough assignment being in Washington because my family was up here, and I'd fly to Washington every Monday, and I'd come back on Thursday nights, and then I'd work in the district on Thursday nights. I saw less and less and less of my family, and after two terms plus, I decided that if I were going to remain in politics, that it was going to have to be in Connecticut. And I did run for governor. It was a tough year. It was a Watergate year. As a matter of fact, the day I was nominated, Richard Nixon was impeached. The Republican Party was at its nadir. In any event, I certainly did not win, and I decided not to go back. I was going to go into private business.
Did you ever have interactions yourself with President Nixon?
As a matter of fact, I did, because one of the main issues that I was deeply involved in was Vietnam and the problem of drug use and drug addiction among American troops in Vietnam. I was in Vietnam three different times while I was in Congress. Fell out on the other opposite side of the aisle, Morgan Murphy from Illinois. We did two international investigation tours of drug smuggling into the United States. I was honored at the White House for my work on developing programs for returning GIs and creating drug rehab programs and drug education programs. I was very, very deeply in all those issues. And the White House, whoever was in president at that time, it happened to be Richard Nixon, could not help but be involved in. So it had quite a bit of contact. Also on the oil embargo, I mean, here's a time when we're back to unrest in the Middle East. Well, we had enormous unrest, of course, in 1973 in the Middle East. We had an oil embargo, which affected Connecticut deeply. Yeah, I spent a lot of time at the White House trying to lobby for more oil for New England and Connecticut.
Did your dad ever interview you on WTIC about issues, or did he stay away from that for the most part?
No, he didn't. Not while I was in Congress. Now, Tom Eaton at that time was the head of public affairs and a top executive at WTIC. He had a weekly Washington Affairs program where he came down, and there were, of course, Connecticut had six members of Congress at that time of the House of Representatives. Tom would come down every, just about every week. He would interview three of the six, so there were three of us who'd be interviewed, and he'd mix it up at times, so there were different. So yeah, so Tom Eaton and WTIC's Washington Affairs program were down in Washington almost every week. And so probably every other week, while Congress was in session, there would be an interview. But my dad, no. My dad didn't get involved in politics.
And then when you ran for governor against Ella Grasso, and obviously you had lost to her, which didn't seem to surprise you too much, given the whole situation with Nixon. You walked across Connecticut, though, which was quite an effort, and Chris Murphy seems to have borrowed that out of your playbook, I think. What did you learn going across Connecticut? What was it like campaigning here locally for governor?
Well, I enjoyed those walks, actually. I enjoyed meeting. I always enjoyed meeting people, and the problem with walks across Connecticut is you get engaged with individual people, and if it takes 15 minutes, then you've got 15 minutes late to continue your walk. Connecticut may be a small state, but it is a huge state when you try to walk across each town in the state, meeting the people of Connecticut and being of whatever help I possibly could be.
People often think today that politics are vicious and nasty. And maybe there's been that aspect always in politics, but if you look at your time in office in the early to mid-1970s compared to politics now, if you follow it now, what would your remarks be about the differences in the last 50 years?
Night and day. It's night and day. The work I did on drug issues, on senior citizen issues, one piece of legislation involved making a lobster a creature of the continental shelf in order to preserve the North American lobster. Most of that work I did with Democrats. And I did it with Democrats because they were in the majority and you couldn't possibly get anything done unless you worked with somebody from the majority. But in addition to that, I enjoyed it and I made an awful lot of friends among Democrats. And the only reason I was effective in helping to get legislation through was because I had help from Democrats. Republicans were in the very, very clear minority at that time in the House of Representatives as well as in the Senate. So the cooperation between Republicans and Democrats was infinitely higher than it is today. I don't say there was great love affair between them, but it was practical. You worked with people who could get things done. And on so many of those issues, I never would have gotten the things done that I got done if I hadn't worked with the majority party. I mean, today, you see what's happening today. I mean, it's the bitterness, the excessiveness, the unwillingness to work together, the splits within the parties themselves. I mean, it's a huge split, obviously, in the Republican Party, but there's a huge split in the Democratic Party right now between more conservative Democrats and farther left Democrats. The same thing in the Republican Party. So it's not just the division between parties. It's the division within parties. And that division within the party can often be more bitter than it is between the parties. So, yeah, it's harder and harder to get things done, harder and harder to get compromises. More and more people are out simply to promote their own political future than to get things done. And I don't think I'd enjoy it very much if I were there now. You mentioned Ella Grasso. Ella was in Congress with me. We used to frequently take a cab from Washington out to the airport because we were flying home at the same time. I always had a good relationship with her. I spoke to her many times after the election, so we certainly remained cordial. I think to have any kind of one against another in a big political race always takes some toll, but I always was a real admirer of hers.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's the broadcaster at 100, celebrating 100 years of WTIC, digging deeper into what I think is a very identifiable and interesting chapter that saw Bob Steele, our former morning host's son, Robert H. Steele, end up in Congress and run for governor at one point in Connecticut's history from 1970 to 1975. More Bob Steele talk in a moment on WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is former morning news anchor Brian Thomas, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're saluting the broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday, WTIC.
Bob, for the job you did forecasting the 52 World Series, I understand you're being considered for a place in baseball's Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't think it'll pan out, Ross, frankly. I hear the fellow who's been sweeping the place out plans to stay for a while.
Folks, it looks like Bob Steele will continue to bring you Strictly Sports weekdays at 6:15.
Robert, now that you're in your mid-80s, how do you look back on the legacy that your father, Bob Steele, left behind in Connecticut, not just at WTIC radio, his career spanning 1936 to 2002.
I was a great admirer of his career. I mean, what he did was amazing. To have the top morning show, which was the most important thing, were the most focus of any station, whether WTIC, that the morning slot was the slot. That's where radio stations made their money. And to be able to be have the biggest share of market of any morning host in the United States was a remarkable, remarkable accomplishment. I thought of him kind of in three parts. I thought of him as a morning show, which I grew up with. I thought of him as a sportsman, which he was. I mean, I thought he knew more about when I was teenager, more about sports than certainly anybody I knew. And when it came to, as I say, baseball or boxing, there was just nobody who knew more than he did. But I think most of all, it was as a father, I appreciated him and the efforts he made to be with the family when he had such an incredibly demanding schedule. And also, the other thing was this relationship with my mother. I mean, they always had a love affair right up until the end. And that's something that I just gradually, increasingly realized and appreciated and understood. The other thing about him was over my lifetime, I mean, I must have seen him meet and interact with a couple thousand people at least over my lifetime before I became an adult and had a life of my own. It was amazing how people reacted to him. It made no difference to him who they were. They would stop him on the street. They would stop him wherever he was. They would stop him going into a movie theater. It would delay him. You know, he was trying to get here. He was trying to get there. But he would always stop and give people his time. That was one of the remarkable things about him. He was never short. He was never curt. He was always friendly, respectful. He's always interested in people. He was never curt. He was never abrupt, like I say. It didn't make any difference who they were, what race they were, what creed they were, what religion they were. And he would give them that time. And I think they loved him for that.
By the way, I didn't get your name. What is your name?
Robert Steele.
Robert Steele? By golly, I thought your face was familiar. See, you're my oldest son. Good to see you again, Robert. Nice to have you on Strictly Sports. Thanks a lot. I'll have to up your allowance 50 cents a week.
You mean you'll make it 75 cents altogether?
Yes, sir. Just for 1 week, of course. Nothing cheap about your father. Good night, Robert, and thanks for dropping in. Don't forget, it's back to Weathersfield High tomorrow, and all you other kids, back to school tomorrow. Hope you have a fine year. Good luck, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Robert H. Steele, Connecticut's former congressman from the 2nd District, son of our former morning host, Bob Steele, and a little throwback there from September 6, 1954. My last question for you as we wrap up the Broadcaster at 100, part two on your dad. Does it surprise you that in 2025 we're still talking about Bob Steele, that there's a street named after him in downtown Hartford, that people take online to say things like, hey, do you remember when Bob Steele did this?
Does it surprise me? To some degree, it surprises me, given the nature of society today, but in other ways, it doesn't surprise me because I think he was unique, and I'm certainly happy to see it.
Bob Steele's eldest son, Robert H. Steele, thank you for coming on to Remember Your Dad on the Broadcaster at 100. We're going to close with Bob's closing from the G. Fox Morning Watch on Thursday, October 24th, 1946, as we celebrate 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
Well, so much for the Morning Watch for this day. Till tomorrow morning at 7, this is your good friend and mine, Bob Steele, saying so long, admitting that our music was transcribed and recorded, and suggesting that you stay tuned for a 5-minute program presented by G. Fox called Connecticut Vignettes. Some brief glimpses of our glorious state that all Connecticut folks will enjoy, I'm sure. Again, we say so long for the G. Fox Morning Watch.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.